Good evening and welcome back to North Gainesville Baptist Church in our Facebook live service here. Hope you've had a good week thus far and praise God for what he's doing even during these difficult days. Do want to make a couple announcements then focus on one of our missionaries. Lord willing, we will be starting church, our in-service church services on May the 17th at 10:45 a.m. And it's been about 2 months since we had church and looking so much forward to that wonderful day and seeing so many of you. We will have details about that day, what we're planning on doing and executing everything that needs to be done on that day. That will be on our website soon. And again, so we'll be giving you more details about that day. May 17th, 10:45, we'll be starting church services back here in person, church services here at North Gainesville Baptist Church. Also, we're planning a cookout, a Memorial Day cookout on May 23rd, that afternoon, evening time. We're looking forward to that, a patriotic time, wear your red, white, and blue. But again, a Memorial Day cookout on May 23rd, that'll be that afternoon or evening. We'll give you again more details about that soon. And also, we're planning on our business meeting on May the 27th. May the 27th, we've moved our business meeting several times thus far, but we are planning on that on May 27th, 7 o'clock, and some very important details about that that's coming up, and I want to give you those details, but very important voting for that night, and especially you members of North Gainesville Baptist Church, encourage you to be there to help out in the vote. All right. One praise report I want to give about one of our missionaries, or actually a local church. It's Lighthouse Baptist Church in Madison, Alabama. We've been supporting this dear church and this dear pastor, Pastor Bert Parker, since 2014. And recently we got in touch with him, and by the grace of God, they no longer need our support. They are self-supported, and they've been thankful that God has given them a building. They've dedicated this building, and now they're going on and serving God and reaching folks for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just praise God for this report and for what God has allowed us to do as a church to encourage these dear folks. And each one of you who gave in your faith promise has a part in this church in Madison, Alabama, being established. So thank God for that. And I want to take just a moment to pray for this dear brother and pray for this church and then the opportunity to support other churches and other missionaries so the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ can go forth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness. We thank you for this praise report. And we thank you, God, that you would just continue. And thank you, Lord, and ask, God, that you would continue to bless this dear church, Lord, in Alabama. Father, we thank you for Pastor Parker, God. I pray that you'd bless him and the congregation there in Madison, Alabama, Father. And I pray that you would help those dear folks, encourage them, strengthen them, especially during this time of quarantine, Lord. And I don't know the particular circumstances in their area, God, but I pray, Lord, that soon they'd be able to meet again if they haven't already been meeting. And Lord, that they'll be able to continue their services and their work for the Lord there in Madison, Alabama. Lord, bless them and use them, and they be a lighthouse in that community. And thank you, Lord, for allowing us to faithfully give to that ministry, Lord, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go forth. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord, and give us more opportunities, Lord, to reach others through the giving, Lord, that you've allowed us to share with these dear missionaries and other local churches. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we are looking at another great hero of the faith. In the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at folks in the Old Testament. We've looked at Esther and Ruth and even Hezekiah the last 2 weeks. But tonight, starting this week, we're going to start looking at some folks in the New Testament, some heroes of the faith. And I'm going to focus on one that you don't hear a whole lot about. Actually, this person doesn't even have a personal name. They're just known by a title, the title of the centurion. We see his story in Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Luke chapter 7, verses 1 through 10 this evening. Luke chapter 7, verse 1. Now when he had ended all these sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent him unto the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built up a synagogue. When Jesus went with him, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am now worthy that thou shouldest enter into under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers. And I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned about, and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And when they were sent, returning to his the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray. Father, we pray, God, that you bless tonight. Bless these dear folks who taken the time to watch and hear the word of God. Now, God, I pray that you would do something special, Lord, in our mind, in our midst, God, that you'd help us to not only hear the word of God, but to heed it. Help us, Lord, be not just to be hearers of the word, but help us to be doers also. Bless tonight, God, and thank you for all you've allowed us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I was reminded recently in the ministry of Jesus Christ, there's only two times recorded in the scriptures that Jesus marveled. Yes, Jesus marveled. The first time was quoted in Mark chapter 6 when he saw the unbelief of the citizens of Nazareth. But the second time is recorded in the scriptures when Jesus meets this certain Roman centurion who we're going to talk about tonight. So what was it about this Roman centurion that made Jesus marvel? Well, first of all, we've realized that this man was a man of great generosity. He had great generosity. You see, there's folks in life that are seeking a blessing, and then there's folks in life who seek to be a blessing. I heard recently a funny story of a pastor who got up one morning during church and said that the church had some financial needs. And he said, whoever gives to the church the most today, I will let that person pick out three hymns. And after the offering was taken, usher gave the pastor a note saying that somebody had put $1,000 in the offering plate. And the pastor got so excited, he said out loud, well, whoever gave that money, would you raise your hand so that you could pick out those three hymns today? And an elderly lady in the back just sheepishly raised her hand, and she walked to the front, and the pastor said, well, ma'am, what three hymns would you like to sing today? And she said, three hymns? And he said, yes, ma'am. And she looked over the crowd and she said, I'll pick him and him and him. I think she got a little bit confused, but she had a sincere heart. Yeah, there's those who are seeking a blessing, and those are those who are seeking to be a blessing. I think about the generosity of this dear centurion this evening. Firstly, he was generous to his servant. Now, to be a Roman centurion meant that he was over 100 soldiers. He was over 100 soldiers. But the centurion cared so much, not for his other soldiers, but for his servant. This Roman centurion cared so much for his servant that he wanted this servant to be healed. Bible says there in Luke chapter 7, verse 2, in a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. Now, we definitely should care for those who have need. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. In Romans 15:1, when then they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. The Lord is always pleased when we seek to help other people in need. But not only this, the centurion loved his servant, the centurion also loved the people he served. It was a report given by the people, the Jews, of the centurion's love for the Jewish people. The Bible says there in Luke chapter 7, verse 5, for he loveth our nation and to build us a synagogue. The centurion, this commander of soldiers, also cared for the people of the city. So the centurion not only focused on his servant, he focused on being a servant to others. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 27, whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man hath came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, it's one thing to be generous to those you know. It's another thing to be generous to those you don't. I read recently a story of the time after World War II there in Europe when the town of London was ravished by war. And there was a U.S. soldier in his Jeep who was driving down the war-torn streets of London. He saw this orphan, and he was looking inside a pastry store, and he had his nose pressed up against the window, and you could tell he was longingly wanting one of those fresh baked hot pastries. And the soldier got out of his Jeep and saw the young man there and said to him, "Young man, would you like one of those pastries?" And the young man said, "Yeah, please." And the soldier went inside and bought him a dozen pastries and brought it out and gave it to him. When the young boy was so excited, he looked up to him and he said, "Sir, are you God?" You know, we are most like God when we're generous. Let me encourage you, never, never deny an inner impulse to be generous to another person. Never deny an inner impulse to be generous to another person. Who knows how God will use that opportunity for their good and for the glory of God. So we see, first of all, that this soldier, this centurion, had great generosity. Secondly, he had great humility. Do you notice a common factor in several of these folks we've been talking about the last couple of weeks? They had great humility. Mark Twain once wrote, "The fellow who blows his own horn the loudest is usually in the biggest fog." I read about William Carey. Now, William Carey is called the father of modern missions. And this is what he said about himself when he was 70 years old. He said, "I am this day 70 years old, a monument of divine mercy and goodness. Through a review of my life, I find much, very much, which I ought to be humbled in the dust. My direct and positive sins are innumerable. My negligence in the Lord's work have been very great. I have not promoted this cause, nor sought his glory and honor as I ought. Notwithstanding all this, I'm spared till now, and I'm still retained in his work, and I trust I'm received into the divine favor through him. I wish to be more entirely devoted to his service, more completely sanctified, and more habitually exercising all the Christian graces, and bringing forth the fruits of righteousness to the praise and honor of that Savior who gave his life a sacrifice for sin." Wow. What wondrous words William Carey had, the father of modern missions, who went to India and saw thousands saved there. This centurion believed that he was not even worthy, not worthy to come to Jesus, first of all. Luke chapter 7, verse 3, when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. Verse 7, "Wherefore neither ought I myself worthy to come unto thee." The centurion was beseeching Jesus, begging Jesus to help his servant. What a reverence this Roman centurion had for Jesus. You know, brothers and sisters in Christ, we've lost our reverence for the Lord. We've lost our reverence for spiritual things, our reverence for God, our reverence for the Holy Spirit. Yet with this reverence, we realize that we, as born-again believers, can come and talk to God and speak to him with our requests. Now, we know no man can see God face to face Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20. But because of Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross, his resurrection, his return to heaven, the scriptures admonish us that now we have a great high priest to whom we can boldly go to anytime. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Not only did he realize that he was not worthy to come to Jesus, secondly, he realized that he was not worthy for Jesus to come to him. Luke chapter 7, verse 6, when Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. See, the centurion realized three truths. He was not able to help his servant himself. Jesus had the ability to help his servant, and Jesus did not need to go to his house to perform his miracle. You see, the centurion went to the right power source. You see, you and I really do not have the power to help people in a permanent way. Oh, if someone would come in the day and have a need for some food or a need for some finances, we might need to be able to help them in a small way for a day or maybe for a few days or maybe even a week or a little, maybe even longer. But that's a temporary thing. But only Jesus and Jesus alone can help someone permanently. You know, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. You and I have a little power to temporarily help people, but Jesus Christ has all power to help people. You know, in the last several years living in Southwest Florida, there's been times through a hurricane that we lost power. I think one time we lost it for about seven days or so. And one time, we lost power for almost nearly 2 weeks. And during those times, when it was very warm in Southwest Florida, I got to really appreciate electricity. I especially really got to appreciate air conditioning, and I sorely missed it during those days. But we must realize that really the greatest thing that you and I can do is to connect people with the ultimate power, God himself. You and I must humble ourselves and go to the right power source and point people to the right power source. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is Lord. So this centurion had great generosity. Secondly, he had great humility. But thirdly, this evening, he had great faith. Another common characteristics in all these heroes of faith. Not only did they have great humility, they had great faith. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So often in life, we live our life by sight walking. What we can see with our eyes, what we can smell, what we can touch, but what we feel. But the spiritual life is not what we can see with our eyes or feel or touch or hear. It's what we see with our spiritual eyes. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, dear Christian, don't live your life by that which you can see. Live your life in faith by the evidence of things not seen. Not seen. You see, you and I make so many choices on a regular basis on things we can see. Like I had faith just to sit down in this chair. I have faith that this computer and this video will work. I had faith to put a pen to paper and the pen would work. We all make decisions by sight, but we need to make decisions by faith. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We see, first of all, under this realization of his great faith, this great faith shown. Luke chapter 7, verse 7, the Syrian centurion said to Jesus, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. The centurion had such faith in Jesus Christ that he sent word to Jesus, the Lord, just say the word. Just Just utter the word. And I know my servant shall be healed. You see, the centurion believed in the power of the spoken word of God. And dear friends, we need to believe, especially in these days, in the power of the spoken word of God. More importantly, now, the written word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. For the Word of God, what we have now, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, dear friend, let me ask you tonight, do you believe in the Word of God? Do you really believe in the Word of God? I believe so many people today, so many Christians, don't read the Word of God and surely don't heed the Word of God simply because they really do not believe the Word of God. So we see this man, the centurion, with great faith shown, but secondly, great faith seen. Jesus heard the words of the centurion, and how did Jesus react? Well, Luke 7:8, he said, the centurion said, "For I am also a man in authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." And when Jesus heard these words, he marveled at him, and turned him about, and said to the people following him, "I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Jesus gave a great praise report of this centurion because of his great faith. Wow, what wonderful faith the centurion had. And what was the result of that faith? Luke 7:10, "And they were sent, returned to the house where they found the servant whole that had been sick." Oh, what faith the centurion had. What great faith he had. The Bible says in Psalm 20:7, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." What are you trusting in? Who are you trusting in? This soldier, this centurion, was greatly praised because his faith in God. Christian, if you and I live proudly, if we live selfishly, if we live a life without faith, someday when we stand before God, we will not hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Oh, dear friend, I want to hear those words one day. How about you? What a great example this Roman centurion was. A great example of Jesus Christ himself, who, because of his great love for us, died on that old rugged cross. He humbled himself, trusting totally on his Father who died for us so we can have everlasting life. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ today? Has there been a time in your life where you realized your great need and you placed your faith in him alone? You see, first of all, you must realize you have a great need. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. Secondly, we have to realize that Jesus Christ himself died on the cross for our sins and that we cannot save ourselves. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We have a great need. We realize we can't save ourselves. And thirdly, we realize that our only option is Jesus himself, who said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Oh, dear friend, the path to peace in Jesus Christ is by faith. Trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. I hope and pray there's been a time in your life where you placed your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Well, God bless you, friends. Thank you for watching this Bible study tonight. I hope it's been an encouragement, blessing to you. And let me encourage you to share it with someone else soon. God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday morning at North Gainesville Baptist Church.